the Lord. We have our guest speaker, John. Before he comes, I want you to know, as we pray for revival, we understand completely this. That is, as we pray for revival in the church, the revival begins with the leadership. Right? The Bible begins teaching us that the leadership needs to be on fire, and to be on fire for Jesus is a humbling of our hearts and a surrendering of our lives to become what Jesus wants us to become. Amen? Yes? Trials and tribulation happen. Can we say amen?
Amen?
But greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. And here's the deal. It is a God thing. And I'm thinking John probably will be along these lines, because he told me he had a message that God gave him for our church. So without any more due process happening, we're going to let John come and share with us what God has laid on your heart. This is your water, John. But try not to put it on this, because it will fall off. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to fix this so you can use it for your water, okay? Are you going to stay behind the pulpit?
I might.
I doubt it.
Well, I said I might.
Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. You know, I don't know what the rest of you think, but I love that guy. Amen. Give him a hand. He deserves it. Amen. Well, I don't need two pulpits.
You might.
I might.
You know how you get.
Praise the Lord. Let me get rid of some of the
water, brother.
Commercial stuff first. Christmas is coming up pretty soon, and I got a great book entitled The Daily Challenge That Makes a Great Christmas Present. It is a missionary memoirs from the ministry that we do, and some of you have got this book. I have gotten absolutely great reviews over this. God help me put it together, and it's a little something you can read. I got a pastor friend of mine that reads it every Sunday morning to his congregation, whatever the date might be on there. I've got people who are sharing it on the internet now. It's just gone kind of crazy. We don't make any money off of this. It all goes back into the ministry that we do. But let me read you October the 14th from the book. It says, we went to a little community of Ilyinsky. Ilyinsky is in Russia, about 1,000 miles northeast of Moscow. So we went to the little community of Ilyinsky today, where we visited two small orphanages and one fairly large elderly home. It snowed about 4 inches last night, so the roads were a bit slippery this morning. As long as we keep a cloud cover, the cold isn't quite so bad. And this is in Siberia, where 50 below zero is quite common. While at the elderly home, we met the regional director of ministry, who witnessed what we do and gave us open doors to all the facilities. We had a long talk, and he seemed so surprised and pleased that anyone would want to visit the elderly. He said even their own children don't visit them. When we first started visiting elderly homes, I was very surprised at our team members, because they just didn't know what to do. I told them all these folks are fatherless, and to do exactly what you would do if you were visiting an orphanage for the first time. There was some hesitancy in the beginning, but soon our team members realized what a blessing they were to the elderly and how much the elderly could teach them about life and what joy we brought into their lives. The highlight for our team members is just before it is time to leave, because when we begin to hug everyone in the building. We are so blessed, as many of these elderly folks not only hug us, but profusely thank us for visiting them. When we love the way God loves, nothing can compete with that. Have you set aside your fears and decided to be the Jesus that folks around you need to see? 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us stop just saying we love each other. Let us show it by our actions." That's one of 365 stories, and it is a daily devotional, and we encourage you to get it. Get more than one copy. I've got a few copies out there, but I have a lot more in my truck, so if you want some, see me after the service, and we'll make sure you get it. What I'm going to talk about today, I have to be very careful because I attend a lot of churches during the course of the year. I speak all over, and as a matter of fact, my home church thinks I'm that kind of Christian that comes on Christmas and Easter because they just don't see me any other time. I do teach during the week, but and I have to be careful that I don't get theological in my teaching. Amen? You have a pastor who does that, and he's good at it. And we've talked about theology a little bit together. But it's really difficult to talk about theology in the churches that I go to. Some believe this way, some believe that way, and others just don't believe anything. So today, I'm going to get real close to theology, but not quite get there. Does that make sense? And in traveling over the countryside, I find people asking me all the time, why don't we see miracles in our church? Why don't we see the deaf hear and the blind see and the crippled walk? I was in my hotel this morning eating breakfast, and all of a sudden I was surrounded by about 30 blind children, totally blind, and two people that were helping them. I began to look at that, and I thought, wow, this is really quite incredible. I've never seen that here in America before. And I began to talk with this guy and found out that in Vancouver, there's a place for blind children. And I deal a lot with blind people in some of the countries I work in. I remember in Ethiopia one time, I was walking down the street and I saw all these blind people. Must have been 100 or more. And I stopped in their compound and I began to talk to some of the people and asking them what's going on. And they said, well, this is where we who are blind go when no one wants us. And I thought, oh, God, how horrible that is. And I said, does anybody ever visit you? They said, no, no one comes. And I looked in their compound, and I totally blind folks who try to clean up their rooms and can't because they can't see. Blind people who cook for themselves, and I don't know how they do it, but they do it. Blind people who don't care what colors they wear in the morning or the afternoon or anywhere because they can't see it anyway. And I thought, oh God, thank you for giving me eyesight. Now, I asked the local church about this. This blind place in Ethiopia was about 100 yards from the church. And I says, what are you folks doing for the blind people? And they hadn't thought about it. You see, they'd been there all their lives. And nobody thought to offer any assistance, to offer any help. And I thought, oh, God, wake us up, Lord. Why is that? I've been to churches and I've seen things that have gone on that just I marvel at. I am so blessed this morning because of the prayer time. Few churches pray. You can call a prayer meeting in most churches and nobody will come. You can call a time to eat and everybody will show up. Amen? And that's the truth. And I believe, like Pastor, that God is calling us back to a time of prayer. The young lady who spoke to us this morning, listen, this is a little bit different than I wanted to preach, but I'll preach it anyway. In Galatians 4, wrong book. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says this, 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, now this is God speaking to us, and I appreciate what you said this morning so very much. It says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through. Hello? Don't be surprised. You know, my wife and I have been attacked physically in ways we never dreamed would happen to us. My wife, who was reasonably healthy, was given some medication. The medication destroyed her lungs, and now she's confined to a wheelchair when she is mobile, or to a chair on a constant basis. Just recently, I have gone through, Pastor might have told you, a series of things with my neck. I have am facing some major surgery here down the road, and I'm thinking, God, who's going to take care of my wife while I'm there? Because you see, I'm her caretaker. Anybody here a caregiver? Yes, bless your hearts. I have a whole new compassion for you. I never realized the not only the difficulty, but the love that it takes to minister and to work with the people you love. My wife, when she became handicapped, I became chief cook and bottle washer. I never cook anything in my life. Hello? I never washed dishes. I never swept the floors. I never vacuumed. But I've got a whole new ministry now. Amen? After 4 years of this, it's been an incredible adventure. I still can't cook anything. Thank God for microwaves. And I'm not the best housekeeper, but you know, my wife doesn't complain. It's interesting. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through. As if something strange were happening to you. See, I could blame all this on the devil or somebody else. But we've searched our souls. And this is a thing that God has and is bringing us through. Do I understand it? Not at all. Do I wish it was different? Probably, but then again, I'm learning a lot of things through it. Amen? Trials that you're going through as if it was something strange were happening to you. Instead, there's parts of Scripture I really don't like. I'm sure you're not that way. But there's parts of it I'd rather not listen to. As a matter of fact, my foster son, we raised him, and he somehow got called of God to be a minister, now is pastoring a large church in Michigan, called me the other day, just got this church about a year ago, And he said, Pop, he says, listen, I've had another elder quit. He's had nothing but fits in his church because people had gotten off track with the word. And he says, I have another elder that quit, and he blames me and he about a lot of things. And he says, here's the things that you can't preach in this church. Hello? I'm sorry. That isn't the thing to say to a pastor. And as long as a pastor is preaching the word, whether that word speaks to you or not isn't important. What matters is he's preaching the word. And it's the word of God that makes a difference in our lives. And I told him, I says, well, let him go. Well, you know, I've already let three of them go. And I said, let them go. And you preach the word. Don't let anybody dictate to you what is to be preached from that pulpit. Instead, he says, when you think about all the strange things that are happening, all the stuff that's going on in your life, he says, instead, be very glad. Oh, man, I don't want to hear that. Amen? I want to sit around and pout. I want somebody to understand my pity party that I want to have. Amen? I don't want to listen to that be glad business. But God says it to us. And if God says it to us, I must change me. Amen? I must change my attitude. I must learn to love the way God loves. And that's not always easy. He says, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world. I listen to the doctors. I go every trip to the doctor with my wife. And I listen to them and I ask questions. And all of them have come to the conclusion that my wife will not get better. She has progressively gotten worse. But you know what God says? He's the healer, not the doctors. Amen? And I still believe that God can touch her right now as I'm speaking. I still believe that God's on the throne, that God hasn't lost not one iota of His power. And I came to you this morning to talk to you about the power of God. You see, one of the things that I've noticed in the American church is we talk about God's power. We talk about things of God, but we don't experience His power. Now, in Mark chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus is talking to a group of folks, and He says this. And these are religious people, by the way. He says, your problem. Now, this is from God. This is from God to us. Your problem is that you don't know scriptures. And you don't know the power of God. So there's two things the church is lacking. We don't know the scriptures. My guess in this room, not everyone has read the Word of God all the way through. I find it every church I go to. Christians who've been Christians for years have never read the Bible all the way through. Never study the Word. We come to church 1, 2, 3 times a week. We trust the pastor knows what he's talking about. And so we just rely on him to be the spokesperson for the Word of God. And, well, he should be. But God relies on you to dig in and find out for yourselves the truth of God. He says, your problem isn't revival, because God wants to bring revival. Your problem isn't holiness, because God is holy. Your problem isn't what's going on in the world, because God says, come on, get out of the world. Be a part of His Spirit. In Acts, and this is where I got to be careful here, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power. You will receive power. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, I will receive power. Now, disregarding all the theological stuff about this, when you got saved, didn't happen before you got saved, but when you got saved, all of God came into your life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You lacked nothing. All of God came in. Now, we talk about different baptisms, water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those are incidences that happen. I think you call it sanctification in your church, but it doesn't matter. All of God came into your life. Amen? We can agree on that. Now, that word dunamis, or that word power, in the Greek is dunamis. You've heard this before. I'm sure your pastor has preached on it. The Greek dunamis is used 120 times in the New Testament. Loosely, the word refers to strength, power, or ability. It is the root word for our English words, dynamite, dynamo, and dynamic. Now my question is, are you dynamite, dynamo, and dynamic? That's what God wants us to be as individuals. He wants us to show the world there's more to life than just day-to-day routine. Amen. I work with so many who I envy because of their power that they share and use in their daily walk. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free, but we all have been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit. And we have all received the same Spirit. Now the Spirit of God is, I read a book entitled by Robert Morris, great Baptist preacher. My goodness. Who would quote a Baptist preacher? Amen. He wrote a book entitled The God I Never Knew. And it's all about the Holy Spirit. It's probably the best book I've ever read anywhere on the Holy Spirit. And he talks about baptisms. And he talks about the Holy Spirit wanting to be our very best friend. Amen. Now, I have to tell you, after I read this book, it just really changed me in my thinking, because you see, I've always been a little leery of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, maybe you're not, but I was, and yet I want to be a friend of God, and yet I'm afraid of God. Anybody relate to that? Sure. And so I have to be real careful. Because if I'm a friend of God, people won't like me. Hello? Well, Pastor Steve knows I don't give a rip about what people think. And I don't. I don't care what you think about me. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change my opinion of God. Amen?
Amen.
In Romans 12, 4 and 5, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of His body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. I don't know where John went, but I'm sorry he's not in here at the moment. I am so appreciative of this man. I never met him before until Steve introduced him today. Hey, who wants that job? Hello? Who? I remember when God first called me to the ministry. And I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, you know, I having visions of sugar plums dancing through my head. I said, Pastor, God's called me into the ministry. And I'll never forget the guy looked at me and he says, well, he says, I'm sorry, you're too old to go to Bible school. Well, I didn't know any better. And I said, well, what can I do? You see, I'm believing my pastor. And I said, well, what can I do? And he said, well, John, he says, we need somebody to clean the toilets in the church. And I'm thinking to myself, if that's what ministry is, and I looked at my pastor and I said, give me the job. And I became the best toilet cleaner that church ever had. And if God called me back to it, I'd gladly go. You see, we're all in this together. We need John. Amen? And we need people just like John. All of us cannot be Billy Grahams. Hello? All of us can't be great evangelists or great worship leaders. We're all part of the body of Christ. And all of us are important. There's none of us any more important or less important than anyone else. We need each other. And we need to be involved in the work that God has set before us. I don't know what God's called all of us to do, but you know, and God knows. And my question is, are you doing it? Are you doing the will of God? Are you seeking the will of God? Now, some of you are looking at pictures up here, and that's okay. You are one of our supporting churches. The people you see, the ministry that you see happening is part of the work that we do. Working with widows and orphans in Russia and Ukraine and Sri Lanka and Ethiopia and Kyrgyzstan. And these are the folks that you help support. These are the folks that you've been praying for. And I trust we'll continue to pray for. And these are the ministries that this part of the body goes and does. I don't know what you do, but I know we can't do it alone. We need each other. We need the local church. We need the church membership, and not just in the Nazarene Church or Assembly of God Church, but we need all those who are believers to be involved in the work that God has set before us. But you shall receive power. In Matthew 3:11, it says, I baptize with water those who turn from their sins and turn to God. And now I know this is probably moot to most of you, but if you're a believer and haven't been water baptized, shame on you. I mean, that's the next logical step that you should take. And you say, well, I don't need to be baptized. Oh, yes, you do. Because it's a time of submission, not just to the Lord, but to the body of Christ, so that they see that you're not just talk, but you actually walk the walk. Amen? Some of you don't like to hear that. I don't care. I'm leaving in a little bit. Acts 1:8. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. The power comes from God. But the power is given by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, I have to go. Listen, I can't stay around. I have to go because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't come, you don't have any power. Hello? And so the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit comes. It's described as a supreme power. It's unlimited power. It's power over all flesh. It's glorious power, all of which God has given to us as believers through the Holy Spirit. It's everlasting power. It's power to subdue all things. It's salvation power. It's healing power. It's power over the enemy. It's redeeming power. It's power to prophesy. It's glorious power. It's power to enable others to do work, to do miracle works. It's power to receive eternal life. It's power to work in any or all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit has given to us as believers. Power that's unlimited in its resource. Power that I can call on today, tomorrow, and for the rest of the tomorrows God gives me. Power that will not only move mountains, but power to see souls saved, power to see souls healed, power to see the dynamic works of God go forth. Power, unlimited God's power is available to every believer. And we as a church, in for the most part, have failed to exercise the power of God. We sit idly by as our friends and relatives suffer with sickness and disease. We sit idly by as those in our neighborhood who've never heard a gospel presentation. See, I got a friend of mine in Ethiopia who came to me a few years back and he said, John, listen, in the hills all around where I live, there's never been a gospel presentation. Never. He says, would you mind if I go and spend a few months in the bush and tell them about God's power? And of course, who am I to get in somebody's way? Amen. So off he went by foot because there's no roads there. And he goes into the bush. And he comes back after several months and he says, John, he says, you won't believe it. He says, there are now thousands that are born again in the hills all around us. And they're sharing the gospel with other communities. And I'm thinking, God, that's the power. Amen? Wow, that's the kind of power I want. I remember speaking to a pastor in Russia who had spent 30 years in prison. 30 years of his life. Couldn't see his wife or family. Spent it in the salt mines of Siberia. 30 years. And I'm thinking, God, how can that happen? And this pastor looks at me and he interrogates me all day long. On and on. He asks me what I think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what I think about salvation, what I think about healing. And we get all done and it's getting about time to go to church. And he says, John, he says, tonight, he says, I want you to speak in my church. I never felt that I should speak in somebody's church who's suffered so much. But he looks at me and he says, John, I want you to speak in my church tonight. And tonight I want you to preach about salvation first. And this is in one meeting. And he says, when you're all done with salvation, he says, I want you to preach about the Holy Spirit. And he says, when you're all done with preaching about the Holy Spirit, he says, I want you to preach on healing. And I looked at my pastor and I said, Pastor, I said, listen, if I do all that in your church tonight, I says, won't it cause you a great deal of problems? Because you see, it was still in communist Russia at the time. And he looked at me with a boldness I've never seen. And he said, John, never mind about me. My people need to hear about Jesus. That's the power. And I preached that night on salvation. There must have been 1,500, 2,000 folks that were at that church meeting. About half of them were outside because the church wasn't big enough to hold them. And so we set up speakers outside so people could hear. And I preached that night on salvation, and about half the congregation got saved. Because you see, there was an American in town, and nobody ever got to see Americans at that time. And so they came from everywhere in the community. After that, I preached on the Holy Spirit. And again, we had an altar call. Same church, same night, nobody left. As a matter of fact, more people kept coming. And I preached on the Holy Spirit. More people got saved. And I got done with that and I preached on healing. And I got to tell you, I was up all night praying for the sick because they literally went to the hospitals, took them out of the hospitals, brought them to church because that's the only hope that they had. Hallelujah. But you shall receive power. It's not anything I designed. But it's God. I remember speaking in another church, and I might have told this story before, but you need to hear it again. I was preaching in another church. We had five services on a Sunday. Five services, each service holding about 1,500 people. And I got to tell you, I was pretty wore out. And come along the fifth service, and I never preached the same service twice. So I had five different messages. And so by the time it came around to the fifth service, that was on late on a Sunday night, about 1,500 people showed up. But you know Sunday nights, mostly just Christians show up. Amen? And so I got up in the pulpit, and I'm thinking, man, I'm really tired. This is, you know, wearing me out. And I stood up in the pulpit and nothing came to me. I didn't have anything to share. I mean, I was just empty. And so I stood there for the longest of time looking like a big dummy. And finally, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, John, ask how many here are sick. So I, okay, Lord. So I said, how many of you here are sick? About a third of the congregation stood up. And I just still don't know what to do. So finally I said, okay, sit down. And I said, how many of you here are believers? Almost the whole congregation stood up. Still didn't know what to do. So I said, okay, sit down. They sit down. And I said, now listen. Tonight, we're going to exercise our faith. I said, I want all of you who are believers to look at your hands. And they all began to look at their hands. And I said, God tells us in His Word that the believers should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen? Now, some of you don't believe that. Look at your hands. Go on. Look at your hands. I want you to look at your hands. Take a good look. If you're a believer, those are believers' hands. That means you as a believer have the power to lay hands on the sick and guess what? They shall recover. It isn't your power, But it's God's power in you that makes the difference. So I had them all sit down. I still don't know what to do. And God again, the Holy Spirit again, spoke to me and He said, I want you to tell them this. All of you who are sick, I want you to stand again. And they did. And I said, here is what the Holy Spirit wants us to do tonight. I said, you who are believers are going to lay hands on the sick. And you're going to pray for them. And I said, you who are sick, as soon as God heals you, I want you to come to the platform and I want you to give testimony. Because you see, that's our responsibility. When God heals us, He expects a word from us. Amen? A testimony of thanks, a testimony of witness, a testimony from us. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. You can't do anything about that. That's already done. And by the word of our testimony. You see, the word of our testimony defeats the enemy. So I said, now, I'm done. I'm through preaching. I said, pray for the sick. Well, they began to pray. All of a sudden, one lady jumped up. She ran forward and going to give her testimony. She took the microphone and she said in a whisper, God healed my voice. Well, I thought that was kind of unusual. So I looked at her and I said, well, if God healed your voice, speak up. Wouldn't you think that's what she should do? And so finally, she again says, God healed my voice. Now, I don't do this at every meeting, but sometimes the prophet in me overruns my good senses. And I looked at this lady and I said to her this. I said, lady, you are a liar. God didn't heal your voice. And of course, everybody stopped breathing at that point. And I said to her, lady, I want you to get over there and stand in that corner. And don't come out of that corner until God heals your voice. Now, in obedience, she went to the corner. By this time, I have a whole line of people that have been healed. And I'm letting them come up one by one and just sharing their testimony when all of a sudden I happen to see a young lady who I've known for years jump up out of her pew, run outside, and I couldn't figure it out because, you see, she'd never walked before. But she ran outside. And a few moments later, she came running back inside. And she ran down the aisle, clear to the platform. She grabbed the microphone out of my hand. And she said, all of you know me. She said, all my life I've been crippled, never been able to walk. And she said, while I was being helped stand during the prayer time, she said, all of a sudden, she said, I felt my legs gain strength. And she said, I didn't believe it. She said, I looked down. And she said, I was standing by myself. She said, I still didn't believe it. So I ran outside, ran to the ladies' restroom and looked in a mirror. And there I am, standing before the mirror, whole and complete. And she said, I want you to know it is God who touched my legs out of the corner. You remember the little lady? Out of the corner, I heard this. Praise the Lord! As God had completed His work in her life. But you shall receive power. You see, the same power that rests in Pastor Steve's hands or my hands or the hands of the saints that have gone on before us, the same power belongs to us all. We are the body of Christ, and we need to exercise the power that God has given us. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I don't know you, most of you, many of you in this room, but I do know that God wants to increase His power in your life. I know that. And maybe you've come today, you felt a little powerless. You wanted to have a pity party, have somebody feel sorry for the troubles you're going through and the heartache that you've experienced and the things that have gone on in your life, and you just haven't understood it, and yet God is here right now amongst us. And He wants to remind you, you shall receive power to get through your situation. You shall receive power to overcome the problems that you're facing. You shall receive power. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you're here and you've never confessed your sins and you want to say to God today, God, I need power today to have my sins forgiven. I need power today, God, to have Jesus come into my life. If that's you this morning and you want your sins forgiven and you want God to come into your life, would you raise your hand that I might see? Yes. Yes, are there others this morning? You want that power to be saved by God. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Maybe you've come this morning, you're a believer. You've been a believer a long time. But today, you realize you need the power of God. If that's you, would you acknowledge that by raising your hand that I might see? Yes, 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 yes. Or maybe you've come today and you're going through a tough time and you want to say to God, God, here I am. I need power to be used of you. If that's you, would you acknowledge that? Yes. Listen, everyone who had their hands up, I want you to come and stand at the altar right now. Please come quickly. Don't let the devil hold you there. If you had your hand up, get up and come on down. Thank you, Jesus. Are there others? Come on, we'll wait a moment. Are there others? This is your opportunity. This is your time. Hallelujah. 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 The rest of you, I'd like you to stand, please. This is a holy moment. I want to pray with you. For those of you that came forward for salvation, you want your sins forgiven. You want Christ to come into your life. Actually, we're all going to say the sinner's prayer. Amen? It just kind of helps clean us up a little bit. All right? So let's just say this prayer after me. Dear God, it's true. I'm a sinner. And I ask you, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I give my life to you, God. Help me to walk with you. Help me, God. I need you as my friend. Save my soul, God. Now, for those of you that have come forward and you want more of God, I'm telling you right now as I stand here, more of God is coming right now. Right now. Right now. More of God is coming right now. More of God. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to do awesome and powerful things. He wants you to have the power, not just to talk about it, but He wants to use you in that power. He wants to restore your families. He wants to help you become so dynamic and so awesome in His work. God wants to encourage you, to strengthen you, to use you. God wants to uplift you. God wants to bless you in a mighty, mighty way. But you shall receive power. Hallelujah. I want you to say it with me. I receive that power. Lord, I've not walked in Your power. But God, I give my life to You to be used by You in Your power. In Your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you who are standing here, before you sit down and before Pastor Steve comes, I want you to share this. I want you to give three or four people a big hug, and I want you to tell them this. I've got the power. I've got the power. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we say it? Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. Empower us. For those who resisted it today, may You come on their lives. May You pour on their with Your Holy Spirit, and may You bring them to the place where the power of Your Godhead will rest upon them, and may You take them out of the journey that they've been in, walking away from You. Hallelujah. In life's crisis and problems that it gives us, we give You glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. One thing I love about preaching, there's always that work of the Holy Spirit that happens when someone is preaching. That's my belief. I believe that happens. As John was preaching, as he said, look at your hands, an amazing thing happened to me. The Lord spoke to my heart as he said that, and he said, and as you look at your hands, I want to remind you that everyone who's been called of my name from day one of this new covenant is in your hands, and the power that has worked in the church over these centuries is in your hands. That's pretty powerful when you think about it, because I thought, well, cool. So when I lay hands on someone, it's not just me laying hands on it, but it's all of God's kingdom laying hands on that individual. Amen? That's good news. That's good stuff. Hey, in the name of Jesus, we pray for those who are heavy on our heart, who do not know Jesus, who are our friends and our family members. We pray, God, for those who are lost and who have not been found. God is there and He's leading them. And we pray that the power of God would burst upon their lives and He would change them. Hallelujah. Oh, that's exciting to me. May God burst on my life. May I quit playing games with preaching. And may I preach the truth and with the power that God gives me. Amen. Receive the kingdom of God. And His power in the name of Jesus.